Well, we're so glad that you're here today, and so I'm going to try something a little bit different this morning. I'm going to try to multitask just a little bit. I want to talk to you about being a chosen vessel, and I want to use Acts chapter 9 to do that, and that is Paul's testimony, or Paul's account of how he was stopped on the road to Damascus by Jesus. He was on the way to persecute the church and really had in his heart a strong commitment and a strong passion to get rid of this new sect called the Way, and that Jesus started through his death and resurrection and all these apostles. And I want to try to help maybe illustrate some things, because God came to him and talked to him and stopped him, or Jesus did, on that road. And then poured into him, and Paul became one of the biggest, if you want to say it that way, apostles that had such an impact, even to you and I today. Because if you study the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, much of what is written there, so much of what is written for us as a church in order to disciple and grow, comes from Paul the apostle, this very Saul that was stopped by God. And so I want to talk to you about this, and maybe get this idea of a vessel that God is looking for, a chosen vessel or a chosen instrument. Depending on which version of the Bible you have, it will say chosen instrument or chosen vessel. So let me give you some context. The church in Jerusalem was multiplying exponentially through the disciples. They were just growing and growing and multiplying. And at the same time, there was opposition as well, also increasing in Jerusalem at that time. This collided when the Pharisees got arguing with Stephen, who was actually a deacon in the Jerusalem church and ministering and serving. But Stephen was so powerful in so many of the things he was doing and was able to really articulate the gospel of the kingdom and the things of God, and was arguing with them. And of course, the Pharisees, ended up getting really upset, started a mob, and stoned Stephen to death. Saul was there. He was one of the young Pharisees, and he was there at the time. And he took up this persecution that arose, this great persecution in Jerusalem arose, and he kind of took up this cause and really went passionate and committed about persecuting these new believers, these new followers of Christ. And he went to the Jerusalem church after he'd gone through Jerusalem and did so much there. He got letters from the Jerusalem Pharisees and went to Damascus and was on his way to Damascus to then go to the synagogue there and talk to them about support so that he could get the Christians that are now in Damascus. And so he's heading there to do that. And we find that this Pharisee Saul was full of this mission to persecute the church. It says in Acts 9, verses 1 and 2, "Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the Way he found there. He wanted to bring them in, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. But the Lord confronted Saul on the road to Damascus." It's a whole chapter in Acts 9. I'm not going to read it all. I'll just give you a condensed version. The Lord confronted Saul on that road to Damascus, stopped him with a bright light, and warned him to stop doing what he was doing. And he blinded Saul and then told Saul to go the rest of the way to Damascus, wait there until Jesus told him what to do. 3 days later, God talks to Ananias, a servant and a follower of Christ, to go and pray for Saul that he would be healed of his sight and be given the Holy Spirit. Of course, Ananias says, "Hey, I've heard this guy. About this guy, he's persecuting all the Christians. Why would I want to, like, are you sure this is what you want to do?" And this was God's, or Jesus' response to Ananias. But the Lord said in Acts 9, 15, 16, the Lord said, "Go, for Saul is a chosen instrument," or other versions, "vessel. He is a chosen vessel to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." If you ever think that Yeah, I don't know if you've ever, this is a sidebar. You ever hear somebody say, come to Christ and everything will be all right? That is not the message Paul heard. Okay? Come to Christ and I'm going to show you how many things you're going to suffer for me. But, you know, Paul made a lot of Christians suffer. So he was ready to suffer for Christ. Just a sidebar thought. Following Christ is not always easy or wonderful. But it is good. But I think most of us would be like Ananias. We would not normally see that our biggest enemy is actually our biggest ally. Isn't that funny? I mean, we would look at somebody like Saul and say, you know, either save him or kill him. Right? Get him out of the church because he's killing people, he's hurting people, he's ruining people. And yet, Jesus looks at Paul a lot differently than we might. He knew that this Saul, and later called Paul, would be just as passionate and committed to following him as when he was fighting against him. And so he used Paul, and he worked with Paul, and he changed Paul in his life. And I think he looks to do that for a lot of people. And we can't necessarily determine who God is looking for and who he isn't and how he wants to use them. But one thing is for sure, Jesus is looking for vessels. Jesus is looking for vessels to pour into, right? He's looking for vessels that he can work with. Just vessels that maybe he can take some of who he is and pour in to their lives. And this is the metaphor that we see in this scripture, and you'll find it in other places in scripture where from time to time we're hearing of these different metaphors about us being a vessel that Jesus can pour into, but really Jesus is looking for people to pour into. Now, how many of you had a coffee this morning? Okay, so you had a coffee or a tea, or maybe you're into juice. Or you're saying, forget all that stuff, I just do water or milk. Or if you're not into the white stuff, you go for chocolate milk. Right. How many of you did that without a vessel? How do you do that without a vessel unless you're on a farm and you go right to the cow? And someone could argue that the cow is a vessel. You first went to the cupboard or someplace, hopefully not the garage shelf, to find something to pour your coffee or your juice. You needed a vessel. How many of you, none of you did that without a vessel. So God has things he wants to put into our world. He wants his kingdom to overtake the enemy's kingdom in our world. And he's looking for vessels. He's looking for vessels to pour into. And this is his desire to do that. God's purpose and mission is to bring his gospel message and his kingdom to the nations. He is looking to pour out his spirit, the scripture tells us, on all flesh. Matthew 28:19 says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. You see, he wants to put his kingdom throughout all the nations. In Acts 2:17, we hear Peter preaching, in the last days, God says, I will pour out. Well, if you're going to pour out, it's smart to pour into. Right? If you poured out your coffee, but you didn't pour it into, you probably can't pour it into. And so we understand that God wants to pour out his spirit upon all people, in all people. So we understand that Jesus died and rose again to save people from sin and from the kingdom of darkness, the enemy's kingdom, and to bring them into his kingdom. He continues to use people to do this. People to bring his salvation and his kingdom into this world. Using a different metaphor, Jesus was with a crowd and gave this big invitation at this great feast, the last day of the feast. And in John 7:37-39, he said, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. It's kind of the same idea as the vessel. that Jesus wants to pour in. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he had said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. So in that scripture, we see that Jesus is inviting people to come to him by believing in him. And when they believe in him, he will pour into them the Holy Spirit. Right? So God is looking for willing vessels. Jesus is looking for willing vessels to pour into. But I think that's the key, that we have to be willing. If we are not willing, it's kind of hard to pour into. Doesn't really work when we're not willing. And so this idea of believing in Jesus, believing in who he is, believing in him, accepting him not only as our Savior, but also as our Lord, we then become willing and can be poured into. Right? So we need the Holy Spirit in our lives to make a difference. And God is looking for people to be his vessels. Jesus is looking for vessels. God is looking for vessels, people that will receive from him and then pour out what they have received into the world. Saul was one of those vessels. Saul was one of those people that Jesus poured into, right? But if you know the story, Jesus didn't just pour into him because, you see, Saul was already full of something else. Saul was already full. It told us in Acts 9, verse 1, it said that meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. I mean, when Saul was heading to Damascus, he was already full of this passion and commitment and desire to destroy the followers of Jesus. And this was not something that was what God wanted. And this can be what happens to us. It says we can come along in life and, you know, we start off all right, but then we start, you know, filling our lives with things. Just, you know, stuff gets in there. You ever had stuff get in your life and you're not sure what it is, but, you know, hey, we gotta keep going and we gotta, you know, fill our lives with things and just... You ever feel like your life is just full? And you run into this thing and you run into that thing and you're going after this and you're going after that and life is just full and God comes along and says, you know, I'd love to pour into you. And, you know, maybe he could pour in. I mean, he could pour in there. Anybody want a drink? And, you know, he goes and pours in here and it's just, yeah, it's not the same. One, he can't pour in as much. And two, when you go to pour out, it's just messy. It's just messy and it doesn't really work well, does it? Because sometimes we have our life so full of things that just aren't cooperating with what God is trying to do. Our life is full of a lot of stuff that Jesus just, it's not going to work. And he can't pour in as much because we've got so much going on and so much things. And sometimes it's not good stuff and sometimes it's okay stuff. But it's not necessarily what God needs in order to work through you. So not only is God is looking for willing vessels, but he needs vessels ready to receive. And so he took Saul and he stopped him on the road. And he blinded him and he made him wait 3 days. I like what Paul said, you know, he says, you're persecuting me, Saul. Why are you doing this? And he said, who are you, Lord? And there was an emptying that happened when Jesus stopped him and blinded him and made him wait until I tell you what you're going to do. And maybe there's times in your life that you just need God to stop you in your tracks because the way you're heading isn't the right way. And the things your life is full of isn't what it should be full of. You've been taking up your own cause and taking up your own purpose and taking up your own passions and missing some of the things. We get so full in life, full of our own ambitions, full of our anxiety sometimes, full of seeking pleasure, full of pain. There are people full of pain because of the brokenness of this life. Full of bitterness because of past hurts and offenses and disappointments and discouragements. Full of personal plans and agendas. I could go on and on. There's all sorts of things we can fill our lives with. But what Jesus wants to fill our life with is Him. And that's hard to do if we get so full of so many other things, right? So, you know, Jesus says that if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. I need something to put this stuff in. But if you lose your life for my sake, you lose your life for my sake, pour it all out, get it out of there, then you will save it. Because now He can pour in. Right? So we need to take a good look at our lives. We need to think about what we've got going in us. What's keeping us busy? What's our passion? What's our commitment? What's got us so wrapped up in doing? And I mean, Paul was passionate. Paul was committed. Paul was busy. Paul was wrapped up. When Jesus got a hold of his life, boy, was he going. But what he was going in was cooperating with the things of God and the kingdom of God, right? Not in competition with what Jesus was looking for. And I guess that's a good question that you and I have to ask ourselves. Is what's going on in our life in cooperation with God and His Holy Spirit, with Jesus and His Holy Spirit and what He wants to do through us? Or is it in competition? So that what God wants to see happen and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives and what we are working on and what's keeping our lives busy and going is in competition with Him. And I think that's an important question. I'd like to just pass that on to you. What's filling your life? Is it in cooperation with how Jesus wants to pour into your life? Are the things that fill your life in competition to what Jesus is calling you and choosing you to do as His vessel? Maybe we can learn from Saul and stop the direction we're heading when it's the wrong one and spend time waiting on God until He comes and opens our eyes and fills us with His Spirit so that we can be about His purpose and His call on our lives. So Jesus is looking for willing vessels. Jesus is also looking for clean vessels. And you also, this morning, looked for a clean vessel, right? We want clean vessels. We don't want dirty vessels. How many of you look for one of these this morning? Anybody go out and say, boy, I want a good coffee, but I need one of these. I mean, we're not after a dirty vessel. Because we understand if we take something that is pure, something that is good, something that is palatable, something that we really enjoy and pleasurable, and we pour it into a dirty vessel, what happens to what is pure? What happens to what is good? If we pour it into a dirty vessel, it's hard to keep these things separate. Do you see this metaphor? I want you to get a good look at this metaphor because this is not this anymore. This is not this anymore. And so Jesus looks for clean vessels to pour into. He asks you to keep your life clean, not for salvation, not for acceptance, not a condition on whether you're loved or not. It has nothing to do with this. He is pouring into you because he wants to pour out from you. And if you are clean, he can pour out from you. We need to be clean so that we can be of use, good use to the master. Now, that doesn't mean everything's perfect, and we're not talking about perfection here. But we do want to work at this. See, Paul actually used this metaphor when he was talking to Timothy. And he was teaching Timothy, and he said to him in 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21, in a wealthy home, some utensils, other versions use the word vessel. In a wealthy home, some utensils or vessels are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive vessels or utensils are used for special occasions. The cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special vessel or utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Sometimes we look at keeping our life pure and clean for God, keeping some of the things that get us dirty and defiled out, or take that time to, again, clean ourselves on a regular basis. Going to the Word of God, who talks to us about being a mirror, being able to look at our mirror and in the Word of God and fix those things spiritually in us that need adjusting and working on. I mean, you guys all looked in a mirror this morning too, I'm pretty sure. At least you look like you looked in a mirror. Not only do you look like you looked in a mirror, you look like you did something about it after you looked in a mirror. And so we all understand the need to regularly go in front and analyze and work at something and correct things. This is the same analogy that we need to also keep ourselves pure. Because God is looking also for clean vessels, right? Because when we have a clean vessel, what is poured out of can be poured into. When we get a clean vessel, God can pour into that vessel, and then that vessel can be used. And you get the same. And this is what God wants to do for you and I. He wants to take of the precious things of who he is, and he wants to pour it into you till you are full and overflowing. And when you are full and overflowing of the things of God, of his nature, of his quality, of his generosity, of his grace, his kindness, his love, his mercy, all those things which we see in the scripture, all those things that if you're following the Lord, you have experienced from him in one way or another. And he wants to fill you with these things so that when you go out into this world and you get bumped and jostled and tossed about a bit in this world, you're going to spill out Jesus. You're going to spill out who he is, and the goodness of God is going to fall out. But if we fill our lives with other things, it's not just Jesus is going to fall out. It's going to be a mixture. And if we're not keeping our life pure and clean, what's pouring out of us isn't as good as what we had hoped it would be. So we need to keep ourselves pure. We need to be willing. I want you to recognize that Jesus fills us for a purpose. See, Acts 9, 15 through 17, as Jesus was talking to Ananias, he told them, the Lord said, go, for Saul is a chosen vessel or instrument to take my message. See, there's the purpose. To take my message to the Gentiles and the kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul, and he laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because God wants to pour into you so you can pour out. We all know that what we would pour out of ourselves to others may be okay, may not be bad, may be decent, but by no way would ever it compare to who God is or who Jesus is. And we know the thing that saves people, the things that takes them from the kingdom of darkness and puts them into his marvelous light, are the things that are of the Holy Spirit, the things that God has, and he needs to pour into us if what we're pouring out to others is going to make any difference, any supernatural, any eternal difference. Must come first from him. Amen? Jesus poured into Saul for a purpose. Saul would be poured out to the Gentiles and the Jews and kings, and that included some suffering and some hard times and some difficult times, but he was poured into for that. You know, Paul got to the end of his life, and he was writing in 2 Timothy to Timothy about the end of his life, and he knew that this was it. He knew that this was over, and he said, "For I am already being poured out," 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And if you let God pour into you, if you would flip your vessel and let him pour in, if you would clean things up and work at that for him, and if you allow him to fill you, you are going to be poured out. See, I think sometimes we come to the Holy Spirit, we come to God, and we want him to fill us, and we want him to permeate us, and we want him to do so much for us, and we receive. But if we want to receive from him, and if we want him to pour into us, we also have to consider that there is a purpose behind the pouring. That you don't pour your coffee in the morning and set it on the counter and walk away unless you're forgetful. You usually have an intent to take whatever refreshment you got, your drink for the morning, because you planned on not only pouring into that cup, but pouring out. It's not meant to stay there. God pours into you. But if he's going to pour into you, he's also going to pour you out. And we want the pouring in. And we look for the pouring in. But we don't always, can I say it? We're not always as happy when we're being poured out. But I think it's important for us to recognize that if we're asking God to pour in us, then the reason why he is pouring is because you're not only willing to be poured into, but you're also willing to be poured out of. Would you let God not only pour into you, but would you also let him pour you out? The disciples were poured into on the day of Pentecost. We know the experience. We've heard it in Acts chapter 2, and we know how they were poured into in an amazing way. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus talked about that, and he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you," and that's that pouring into. He immediately attaches that and to this, "And you will be my witnesses," because I'm going to pour you out. I'm going to pour you out in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we know the stories. We've heard the stories and the traditions of how the disciples gave their lives for the cause of Christ. John, I think, is the only one, according to tradition, that may have died of natural causes. And if you read his traditional story, before that happened, he was boiled in oil. None of us live in a country where that is likely anytime soon. We need to understand that God wants to pour into us, yes, but that's not the end result. He wants you to be poured out. And maybe as we're asking God to pour into our lives, we need to be asking him, "As you pour in, God, how can I pour this out?" You come Sunday mornings and you hear the scriptures and you worship and you get poured into, and there's other things you do during the week where the word of God and the prayer and worship and other things are pouring into you. And I just ask you to consider, as you're being poured into in these many ways, have a conversation with God's Holy Spirit. How can I pour this out? Amen. Because that's his desire. That's his desire. It says in the scriptures here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, because the purpose of us being poured into is to be poured out. And this mission is for all of us, not just the disciples, to be witnesses. And it's not necessarily that you all have to be preachers, somebody who stands up and talks to the masses. That's only one part. I think most people come to Jesus Christ because a friend has lived it first and then shared it after. They don't generally come to Christ because some stranger has talked to them about Jesus. They come to Christ because a friend has demonstrated it. And maybe the message that this person, such as myself, speaks is the final step. But there's a whole lot of groundwork that's laid ahead of time. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, for just doing his work in all sorts of ways. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, four things. And then I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Four things. One, it's harder for God to pour into us if we are not willing. If we take that glass and we flip it upside down. So be willing. Take your life and open it up to Jesus. Amen? Take your life and open it up to Jesus. Second, it's harder for God to pour into us if we're full of other things. If we let life just get us so full of this and so full of that, it could be all kinds of things. And I just have a feeling that might be, and I don't know, I don't have regular conversations with the enemy, but I think that might be one of his strategies. If he can't get you off track with God, he maybe tries to get your life so full that you don't have enough time. You don't have enough emotion. You don't have enough energy. You don't have enough focus. You're so full of getting ahead or getting your finances in order or getting your emotions figured out or getting, you're bitter or there's all sorts of things that can fill your heart and mind so that you will not be in a good place to receive. It's hard for God to pour into us if we're full of other things. And so I'm not telling you empty your life of everything. That's not what's being said. What I'm asking you to do is ask, is what is going on, what's in my life, is it in cooperation with what God wants for me or in competition? And ask yourself that question about the things that are in your life. And it's a good question to come back to. Third, we need to keep clean. And this is about just doing our best to remain pure, to have the things in our life that are good so that it doesn't taint or defile the things that God wants to bring into our lives. And we thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. And this isn't, again, about salvation or love or acceptance. This is about just being ready for when God is looking to use people. I mean, you do that, right? You go to the cupboard and look for a clean vessel to use when it's time to use. And so we look to keep our lives clean and ready for the Master's use. And last, we need to embrace his purpose for us. Not only be poured into, but be poured out of. I think we have maybe some worship team people that are able to come. Pastor Andrew's up teaching. I'm not sure if Bina is available to play a little for me? Thank you. And I want to give you opportunity, saints of God. Because here today, you can be in one of these situations. You can be saying to yourself, you know, I think my glass has been like this a lot. I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried, a little concerned that if I open up to Jesus, he's going to do some stuff that I just don't want done. Anybody ever felt that way? Are you honest enough? You ever felt that way sometimes? You know, I'm just a little worried. So I'll let him have a little piece here and a little piece there, but don't ask me to flip the cup and let him just do whatever he wants. And maybe we're kind of this way a little bit. You know, I love Jesus and I'm following Jesus, but you know what? My life is so full right now. It's just so full of things that I just feel I have to do. And Jesus really doesn't have a lot of room to work. Maybe you're there. Or maybe there's some things in your life that are just not good. And if that's the case, you're like a lot of people. And there's nothing to be ashamed of about that. We're human beings with a sinful nature. But Jesus can work with that. If you're ready to work on cleaning those areas, if you're ready to bring them to him. And I just want to give time today. And maybe you're here. You love Jesus. You've given him your life. You feel like you're pretty clean to be used of God, but you're feeling kind of empty. You don't feel like there's a lot to be poured out. And it's not about how you feel, but maybe there's a time where we can come and say, Jesus, here I am. And I want to come to you and I want to say, pour into me so I can pour out. Pour into me so I can pour out. And this may be a good time for you just to come and say, pour into me. Maybe it's a time for you to come to say, Lord, here's these areas that just need cleaning. I don't want to be like this to the world. Help me to clean. Walk me through the process of cleaning my life. Or maybe you need to come and you need to say, God, I need to go over some of the areas of my life. It's just too full for you to be using the way you want to use it. And you're ready to say, God, here I am. Start getting some of this stuff out that I don't need in there. So I want to open this up. I want to open up a chance for you. We're a little bit early for me.